I imagine that many people, upon hearing these readings or reading these readings, will immediately connect them to the terrible news coming out of the Holy Land. That was my first reaction, so I can't be the only one. I mean, the first reading, again from Maccabees, tells of the resistance, the armed resistance to the oppression. For the past couple of days, we've been hearing about the injustices being done against the Jews, the martyrdom of Eleazar, the 90-year-old man. Yesterday, the martyrdom of the mother and her seven sons. So, you know, injustice after injustice after injustice. Well, in today's reading, we hear about Mattathias and his clan saying, enough of this. We can't be forced to violate the law. We have to stand up for what's right. So we understand that principle. And then in today's gospel, Jesus speaks about the siege of Jerusalem. The terrible affliction that Jerusalem will suffer. Most people connect this to the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But, I mean, talk about siege, we're in the news every day. If you follow international news, the siege of Gaza and the sufferings of the people in Gaza because of the siege, or actually siege and invasion. Now, if you're, so I say, these readings certainly seem connected to what we hear in the news coming out of Israel. And in the news, of course, the Israelis are saying, we can't let terrorists enter our homes and kill our families and burn down our houses, and we have to defend ourselves. And anyone would say that's certainly right, a legitimate self-defense. You can't let terrorists destroy your communities and your families. But then we hear on the other side the citizens of Gaza saying, look, we don't have a working hospital in the whole region. When we have children who, you read about that, the evacuation of the premature children. I mean, and story after story after story of terrible suffering. And they say, this is inhumane. You can't let this go on. And that's true too. So we're hearing these legitimate concerns and also hearing about the illegitimate actions of the other. And so that's why there's this conflict. Now, there's been news of a ceasefire. I hope that's going to actually work out. I'm not up to date completely, but at least there's some hope that something good will come out of this. But even though those are legitimate connections to what's in the readings, I'd like to focus for a moment here on the beginning of the gospel, where we see Jesus' reaction to all this. You see, it's one thing to have one side against another side, to have the human concern, legitimate aspirations for self-defense and for prospering, and the argument that evil should not be done against us. Yes, that's true. But where's God in those arguments? Where's God? Well, that's why we have the benefit. We benefit when we look to Jesus, because Jesus is God in the world, God in the midst of the human family. He reveals God's response to this mess. And this is what it says. As Jesus drew near Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. It's quite a striking thing. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Jesus, perfect representation of the Father, perfect revelation of the Father, weeps. Now, God does not have emotions. He doesn't weep. He's perfect and unchanging, yes. But he is love. And when love is not received, there's a wound. When gifts are not accepted, there's a sorrow. We would never be able to attribute to God this reaction, unless God himself revealed it in Jesus Christ, that he weeps. There are two places in the scriptures where Jesus weeps. Neither of them is in the Passion. This is a striking thing too. And Jesus, for all his own suffering, his own experience of oppression and persecution and pain, yes, he groans, he cries out, maybe he did weep. He would certainly have legitimate reason to, but it doesn't say in the Gospels that Jesus wept in his own Passion. The two times he wept, first of all, at the tomb of Lazarus. And that doesn't take any explanation. Anyone who has lost a loved one weeps. That's just a normal human response. That's the shortest verse in the whole Gospel, you know, shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. You don't have to explain it. His friend died. Now, it says in those passages that when Lazarus was dead that Jesus was deeply troubled. He was deeply troubled. But that, like I said, we don't have to explain it. In this Gospel, here's Jesus weeping again. It says, as he drew near Jerusalem. Now, this is in Luke's Gospel, and about half of Luke's Gospel is Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. Remember, he set his face toward Jerusalem. He was resolutely determined to go to Jerusalem. Well, finally, he has arrived. He reaches this point where there's a certain kind of a lookout point or a bluff, and you can see the city. I've never been there. We didn't get to go there. But I remember reading that there's even a little chapel at this place, the Dominus Flevit Chapel. The Lord wept. Dominus, the Lord. Flevit means he wept. The Lord wept when he saw the city. So this is a real place where Jesus, and I think where people go and look at the city of Jerusalem. You can still do that to this day. Well, here's Jesus going to Jerusalem to lay down his life. He's going to offer himself in sacrifice, and he's not thinking or weeping about his own imminent death. He's weeping because of the sufferings of Jerusalem, of his own people. He knows that they're going to be suffering a siege. He knows that they'll be smashed to the ground, that their children are going to be killed. Meaning, God knows these sufferings take place in the human family. You know, a lot of people look at what happens in Gaza. They say, look at, there's women and children and, you know, the sick who are abandoned. There's no electricity. There's no food. Where's God? And they say, well, there must not be a God, because no God could allow such things. He would certainly intervene, and he doesn't. Or they say, if there's a God, he's a distant God who just doesn't care that much. He's just watching from on top of a mountain. But Jesus reveals that's not how God looks at human suffering, or it's not how he looks at the consequences of human sin. He weeps, he laments that the solution that he has come to bring, he has come to offer, is being rejected. And this is the story of sin in every generation. Wars are simply a magnification of the problem of every sin. They're like the cancer of sin. You know, cancer is when cells multiply rapidly. Well, that's what happens in war. Sins multiply rapidly. People get swept away in the fog of war. But God does not. God does not get blinded by the injustices or the suffering. He continues to offer a solution. And his solution is to offer himself. Why is Jesus in Jerusalem? Because that's where he's come to make sacrifice. That's God's response to sin and injustice and suffering and death. It is to offer himself. Now, someone might say, oh, well, fine. So he offered himself. It didn't seem to work, did it? Look, there's a war going on in Ukraine. There's a war going on in Israel. And there's enough suffering here. So all that religious talk about God weeping and God offering himself, well, obviously doesn't do any good, does it? No. wrong response. God doesn't force the solution on us. What he does is he reveals it, he offers it, and then he invites us to follow him. To not be reduced to the human response to injustice, which is always anger and violence, or resignation and despair. He says, no, there's another way. There's the divine way. There's the way of divine love. There's the opportunity to offer yourself in sacrifice, to offer your own tears. This is what you hear from Pope Francis all the time now. He'll never take sides. He never takes sides. He never condemns one country or one leader or one position. He always says, peace. Take the side of the suffering. Take the side of the wounded. Take the side of the helpless, of the poor, of the people on the peripheries. This is what God would do, and this is what he's inviting us to do. Now, it doesn't give an immediate solution to a conflict like we see in the Holy Land, but it is God's solution. If we're going to enter into any fray, we enter in as a victim, as a willing servant, as someone whose weeping is not for oneself, but for those who are suffering. Okay, Jesus is weeping because his own people did not recognize the time of their visitation. Well, we don't recognize the time of our visitation. Most people don't recognize it. But people of faith have a glimpse that every moment since Jesus came into the world is a time of God's visitation. God is with us in the world. God is with us. He has not abandoned us. If we're suffering, he is suffering with us. If we're weeping, he's weeping with us. If we don't see any solution, he's with us as the solution. This is the gospel. So we do not give in to the hostilities that are taking over the world, and we don't give in to despair that there's no solution to the seemingly impossible problems. We turn to Jesus. Jesus who weeps, Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life.